Let's begin. Today we're going to talk about lifestyle choices that people make, all right? Our first verse today is Proverbs 21, verse 2 through 3. And it's going to be up here on the screen. If all of us will read it out loud together, I would appreciate it. Let us begin. A person may think their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart. The Lord is more pleased when we do what is right and just than we offer him sacrifices. We're talking about choices. We're talking about making decisions that honors God, that leads us to a better future. A future that God wants for us. Here's the key. Truth number one. The quality of our tomorrows is determined by our choices we make today. See, the quality of our decisions we make today will literally path our way into the future. Let me bring it home to you. If I want to lose weight tomorrow, it determines on the quality of my eating and exercise I do today. See, I can't eat whatever I want today and think I'm going to have health benefits and lose weight tomorrow, right? We all know this. How about this one? My financial health tomorrow depends on my budgeting and spending I do today. Again, I think we all know this, don't we? If I want marital health tomorrow, it depends on how we treat our spouse today. Now, I think we all know this, but I think sometimes we forget, don't we? If I want our children healthy, confident in their faith tomorrow, it depends on your parental skills and teaching today. Here's the mistake some of us make. See, we hope to shortcut our todays and get to our tomorrows. We are hoping we can shortchange and undermine today to hurry to tomorrow and still have a great tomorrow. That's what we hope for, church, but it can't be done. We wish and we pray and we hope and we dream of great tomorrows, but we really don't plan and pay attention to our todays. Today is all about choices. This message is all about choices. But this morning, church, today we're going to be looking at some particular kind of choices we make. Choices we make under fire, under pressure, under stress, under trials and troubles and persecution. See, those choices we make in the battlefield of life. When all stuff is breaking loose, when the doctor gives you some bad news, when your boss calls you in and tells you you're a great employee, but unfortunately we have to downsize and we have to let you go. So pretty much when life is not going as you expected, what choices do we make then? How to react? How do we react under fire? How do you react under pressure? See, the decisions and choices you make during these times are critical to your character and your future. Let me read James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. Verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Let me stop right there. That's not our first reaction when trouble comes our way, isn't it? Especially financially, right? When you're just starting to get ahead and you're able to sock just a little bit in your savings account. And you know what happens? Something breaks down. You have to pull that little bit you have in the savings to get whatever that was fixed. But you see, that's where God wants us to be. All right? He says, count it all joy whenever we face trials, right? Let's finish verse 3 and 4. It says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, not lacking in anything. You see, church, there's a process here. It's a journey. If I make the proper choices, when trouble comes my way, it will lead me to a greater future. All right? A future God wants for us. My character is stronger, my faith has been tested and refined, and I'm ready for whatever life has to offer. Church, we need trials in our life. Without trials, without troubles, then we end up with this marshmallow faith, right? Because it's never been tested. Truth number two. Every day you wake up, you enter the battlefield of choices. The battlefield of life. See, some choices lead you towards the win, towards God. Some choices lead you away from God. See, if we choose poorly, sometimes our choices can lead to, let's go over some of these choices. Depression. Depression is an emotion that can manifest itself in many ways, can it? For example, maybe your relationship with your spouse hasn't been going very well. You even have some doubts if your spouse even still loves you. So you sink in depression. Or maybe you're at your job. You have learned that you just hate your job. You're so depressed. It's just hard for you to get up every morning to go to that job. But you know you have to because you got to pay the bills. You got to put the food on the table. But it still stops you from, it just doesn't stop you from getting depressed. And you just sink in greater depression every day. How about the next one? Another loss towards God. Anger. That's a huge one. We just spent 40 days on the miracle of mercy, didn't we? And we're talking about mercy. And one of the chapters was dealing with difficult people. Even Pastor Joe preached that week on that, about dealing with difficult people. I have a thought for you, though. If you're going to work and you're dealing with three or four difficult people, and then you come home and you feel you're dealing with difficult people at your home, I encourage you, you might want to consider looking in the mirror, because the difficult person is probably you, all right? It's because the way they are reacting to you is the way you're treating them. Just a thought. You know, when I was a little kid, a toddler, my cousin told me I had a nickname called the Terror of Madera. And we used to live on Madera. I don't remember it because I was that street, right? But she said I would get so angry that my veins in my neck would just pop out. And I would run down the street just screaming and yelling. And she'd have to come chasing after me, right? So I had the nickname, oh, Lord, the Code Red, the Terror of Madera is out and about. You know, I'm ashamed to tell you, but my anger, I didn't get control of it. It carried me over into elementary school. From first grade to sixth grade, I got suspended 11 times, mostly because of my anger and mostly because I thought the solution was when people wrong me was I use these. All right? And that got me kicked out. Took me many years to get control of my anger. And I will tell you that the key is the Lord. He helped me. As I grew into the Lord, it helped me. I carried that anger into when I was young in our marriage with Julie. She's seen it. She's seen the Terror of Madera. When my veins would pop out, I'd get so angry. Let's see what the Lord says. What does the word say about anger? Go ahead. It says, Proverbs 21:23, watch your words and hold your tongue. You will save yourself a lot of grief. I don't know about you guys, but for some of us, that should be our life verse. In fact, we should stamp that on our forehead, right? I knew if I would have learned that verse many years ago, it most certainly would have saved me a lot of grief, especially in my marriage. Let's go to the next. Fear. That's a huge one, isn't it? Fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of a doctor gave you a doctor diagnosis, right? That you're fearful of. Fear of whether you're going to be able to put the food on the table this month. Fear if you're going to be able to make the mortgage payment. All these things, fear can manifest itself just like depression in many areas. Let's go to the next one. Pride. That's a huge one, isn't it? Pride. I was very prideful when I was young. I didn't need help. I can do this by myself. I don't need God. I don't need anybody. I can handle it. Even as a Christian, as I grew, I had the impression that I don't need to bother God with this. It's very small potatoes compared to the big picture of what he's dealing with. That's stinking thinking. Church, he wants us to come to him in all things, little, big, whatever, right? Stinking thinking I had. So we're looking at some things that we get a loss. Let's go to look at some choices that we can make for the win. Hope. Instead of choosing depression, we choose hope. What does the word say about hope? Romans 15:3 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." You hear that, church? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you what? As you trust him. So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not depression, but hope. How about a choice that we can make to give us a torch for a win? The next one, kindness. Kindness. See, some of you, I know some of my generation, when I grew up, showing kindness could be a form of weakness, right? And therefore, if I show weakness, that will give people the opportunity to take advantage of me. Well, I can tell you in Julie and I's marriage over the years, when we have extended kindness to some people, sure, they've taken advantage of us. I'm sure some of you could probably say they have the same story, right? But what does the word say about kindness? It says Colossians 3:12 says, "Clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." You see, these scriptures are not suggestions, all right? These are imperative. These are things we must do, church. But some people just think, oh, these are suggestions. He tells us to clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy and kindness, humility. We're going to talk a little bit of that in a second, more about humility, gentleness, and patience. Amen? Let's go to the next one. So instead of we choosing fear, we choose a godly boldness. What does the word say about godly boldness? 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." You hear that, church? Hey, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a power of love and of sound mind. See, God empowers us with boldness, not fear. This verse reassures us that the Spirit given to us by God instills power, love, and enables us to live boldly. Amen? Let's go to the last one. Humility. Now, guys, I'm going to confess. I've said this to my Sunday school class. I used to tease about how humility, that's not even in my DNA. I don't even know what that word means, humility. After God humbled me a few times, I stopped using that as a joke. All you have to do is be humbled a few times, and yeah, now I know what that humility really is. But God tells us humility, right? Humility. There's one word that ties these all together, and that word on the battlefield determines our choices, right? That word is trust. See, the question is, church, who are you going to trust? Your experience? Your peer group? Your own intellect? Your own strength? See, if I place all my trust in myself, this could lead me further away from God, and I might not be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel. So that will sink me into greater depression. Or I don't trust God can take care of this situation with this difficult person, so I'm going to try and control them with anger. See, I don't trust God can take care of this financial situation that I'm in, so I'm going to seek more into fear. Or I don't trust God can really take care of me, so I'm going to look after myself with pride. So I move away from God by my choices. Or how about this? I trust in God and His word, and even though I struggle with discouragement and depression, I recognize if I put my trust in Him, even though I don't see it, there is light at the end of the tunnel. And that gives me hope. I don't have to control people with anger anymore. I trust in God so I can treat people with kindness. Because I don't have to control them anymore. I don't have to worry about them walking over me. Because it doesn't matter. See, I can have this godly confidence, not arrogance, church, not pride, but a boldness of how I live my life. A God confidence, a God strength that is eternal. See, church, humility is not being a doormat. It's having a correct understanding of who I am with God. It's living in agreement with God that I don't have to run the show anymore. I can trust Him. I can live humbly. Amen? Truth number three. If you are free to choose. You can choose to be angry, or you can choose to be kind. You can choose to live in fear or with a godly boldness. You can seek into a deeper depression, or you can move towards hope. See, you are free to make that choice, but the consequences of your decisions are not. Because see, out there, there's another realm of the fruit, you see. It's not just about you and me. You see, if I live a life of hope, kindness, a godly boldness, humility, I'm going to have fruit in my marriage, my relationships with the people around me, and my finances. You see, there is fruit out there also for my consequences if I choose to live my life out of depression, fear, anger, and pride. Can you imagine the impact and harm I will have with people around me? It's going to be very negative, isn't it, church? And there's going to be consequences to it as well. So I want to make something abundantly clear this morning. I'm not saying if you make the decision today to stop living in fear, anger, and depression, that all those things are just going to go away at one time. Because once you make this decision, it's a process, church. It's a journey that could take a while. But you see, it's a step in the right direction, going towards the wind, towards God. Amen? Church, today we're going to make a declaration. When we are on the battlefield, we are going to choose to win, move towards God. We're going to make steps towards to give us a spiritual victory. I'm going to give you three quick principles to move you to this direction towards the win. Principle number one, if you're going to win on the battlefield, the first thing you must do is fight your feelings. I think everyone can agree that the feelings you first get on the battlefield of trials and troubles when you are being attacked, our feelings do not go in this direction of joy, hope, kindness, do they? They normally go towards that direction, towards fear, anger, and pride, right? So the first thing we got to do is fight off those negative feelings that leads us to the wrong direction. It leads us towards a loss away from God. It's hard to do because we are used to be led by our emotions. Let's play out a scenario here, some scenarios. Something goes really bad at work. Your boss yells at you. You have a terrible day. And maybe your solution to this is you go out on a shopping spree and you pull out that plastic. Come on, is it hitting home for anybody? Anybody done that? How about this one? Same scenario, but instead of going out on a shopping spree, you go home, you eat a ton of junk food and a quart of ice cream. Am I hitting closer to home to anybody? Gary, thank you for being honest, brother. Okay, so we want to take care of our body and our finances, but we do things by impulse that leads us away from the win. How about something worse? Your relationship is not going as well as you expected, and you don't fight off those feelings. So you go on a verbal tirade, cutting down, jabs, accusations fly, and at the end of it, you have said things that come out of your mouth that should never come out. And at the end, you have done a year's worth of damage to that loved one because you could not fight off the feeling, the fear, anger, all right? Am I hitting close to home to anybody now out there? Don't raise your hand. See, often our feelings are our worst enemy. See, it's very hard to do. But church, if you would hold hands with God and recognize what's going on when you are in the middle of that firefight and ask him to help you fight off these feelings. Here's what the Bible says about our feelings and our emotions. 1 John chapter 3, 19 and 20 on the NLT. It says, our actions will show that we belong to the truth. Who's the truth? The truth is Jesus Christ. So we will be confident when we stand before God, even if we feel guilty. God is greater than our feelings, and he knows everything. Amen? See, sometimes our heart stands in condemnation over us. Let me quote something eternally you may have said to yourself. You can't win. How can I be so stupid? How did I get myself into this mess? I'm such a loser. They don't deserve my forgiveness. In this quote with me, church, fight fire with fire. There we go. Don't get mad, get. See, we've been trained, haven't we? We've been trained to let our emotions dictate our actions. Church, we've been trained poorly. See, all these negative emotions are not a product of God. Here's the promise. God is bigger than your heart. He's bigger than your own condemnation. He's bigger than your feelings of failure, loss, or anger. He is bigger than all that. So this is what I want you to encourage you to do. The next time, all right, you feel you're about ready to blow and pressure's mounting, I want you to get real with God. I want you to tell him you're angry. I want you to tell him you're frustrated. I want you to tell him you feel like a loser. I want you to tell him you have fear. Church, he would rather you go off on him than the people around you. Now, some of you out there might be thinking, well, that's not very Christian, any of you. Read the Psalms. These men in the Psalms reached out to God. They told him they was hung angry. They were told him they were frustrated. But at the end, church, I want you to tell him that you need him. I want you to tell him you trust him. Listen to what he wants to tell you. See, here's the truth. He loves you very much. Here's the truth. He's your daughter. You're his daughter. You are his son. And he won't let you forget that. He will teach you stuff like greater than I than you are facing in the world. And he will remind you, you are more than conquerors when I am in your life. And he will remind you that you can do all things through him who gives you strength. Amen? One moment. Principle number two. Gather valuable resources. You see, when you are in the middle of that firefight, you tend to go into two extreme directions. One, all the way over here in Isolationville, right? Where you want to push people away. You want to be left alone. Or all the way over here, where you tell everybody who will listen to you and have a nice little pity party. Now, right here in the middle, this is a healthy middle. It's where you gather valuable resources. First resource, the Bible. That should always be your first resource. Guys, if you don't have a study Bible at home, I encourage you to go out and get one. Most of the study Bibles in the back have a concordance. It tells you all kinds of subjects. A lot of the things we're talking about this morning, it talks about in Scripture what God has to say about those things. It is the study Bible in my life has changed my life. The next one was books from respected authors. There's many Christian authors out there have written things on these subjects that we have been covering this morning. Next one would be Right Now Media. If you're not aware of this, this is a subscription. This is a media that we have as a church. All right, you can put an app on your phone. I think some of our care groups use these Bible studies. It has devotions, has all kinds of subjects. And guess what, church? It's free to you because the church pays for this. And I do believe the administrator to this is Pastor Joe. So if you don't have Right Now Media, I highly encourage you to see Pastor Joe and give him your email so he can invite you to it. It has so many things to offer. The last thing is people, wise counsel. As I get to know some of you out there, there's a lot of wise counsel out here that we all should be tapping into when troubles come our way. Principle number three, pursue the prize. See, if you're going to choose to win, you must pursue. You must take the next step. You can't stay where you're at. The key word here is perspective. See, perspective is one of the greatest things you can have when you're in the middle of trials and troubles. Hey, if you ever think about this, if you could have a superpower, what would it be? I know when I was growing up, I wanted to be like Superman. I could be able to fly. How about you? Come on, raise some hands here. What would you want to be, have a superpower? Come on. Nobody? No one wanted to be Batman or Aquaman or nothing? No superpowers? Well, there you go. What was it? Huh?
Duplicate himself.
For me, I don't think the world could take another Rocky. One is enough. But work for you, brother. See, you can have a superpower, but not too many people use it, guys. It's the superpower to leave the present and go into the future and look back onto the present. It's called perspective. Here's what wise people do. See, they're in the middle of a storm, trials and troubles. Bullets are flying. They don't react. They don't go off emotion. They don't do crazy things. They say, okay, based on the decision I make right now, where's this going to lead me into the future? They run the scenario. If I make this series of choices, this will lead me here into this future. And if I make this series of choices, this will lead me here into that future. So if I make good choices in 5 years, it will lead me here. So from that vantage point, they say, okay, I will make that series of choices now. That's perspective. That's a superpower. But most people don't use it. Because why? Most people live in the now and in the moment. So what's the prize? Let's read James chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 again. Verse 3, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. That's it, church. That's the prize. When our character is fully developed, we will be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. Amen? Let us pray. Lord, we just come to you right now. We just thank you for giving us a building to be able to come together and just worship and learn more about you, Lord. I just pray that these choices today, Lord, if there's anybody out there that's dealing with any of these things, the anger, depression, any fear, any of these things, pride, Lord, I just pray that they meditate on the words that I've said and use these tools and start moving a win towards you, Lord, a win, Lord. We just want to, again, thank you for this time and just be with this congregation. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.